Hi, Dominique, and welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. After
Thank
some
you,
time
Randolph.
off, it's great to see you, of course. How are you?
And you, as always. Nothing is happening in the United States.
Exactly. Glad it's all like, long-term fundamental economic fundamentals that, basing all our decisions on. Okay, so let's kind of dive right in, as we always like to do. Kind of your big takeaways. Obviously, we'll leave with politics, monetary policy, the Fed, the economy, trade, etc. Market reactions. Have you been surprised by any of the stuff? What do you think?
So the big news, of course, was President Trump announcing that he wouldn't try to fire Chair Powell, and that he wanted to be very nice with Powell, with China. And in view of previous statements going in many directions, there is a case to take it with a pinch of salt. However, in my view, the Powell news were not really news because it became clear that legally Trump was very unlikely to succeed. So he did, what a good risk manager does, which is take your losses and move on. So in my view, there isn't much.
And sorry, when does his term officially end?
His term end in May of next year.
May, okay, fine. Fine.
So, comes the fall, Trump is, and Bessent has already announced that in the fall they would be starting the search. And someone made a very astute comment that, the names that are being talked about, like Kevin Warsh, they're actually very hawkish, probably more hawkish than Chair Powell. So we'll see. But Trump beat a tactical retreat on this one, and that's smart. Then the other news, I think, has more substance, and which is about being nice with China, de-escalating. And initially, China's reaction was, we don't want to be the first one to concede. But then overnight, they came up with some comments that they could lower tariff on American goods, which begs a broader question, of whether. What's are we going to get more good news or bad news over the next few weeks? And on the good news side, there's no question that we're going to get news about deals. Okay, we had stories about a deal getting done in India, which makes me wonder what exactly is in a deal, because trade treaties typically take years to negotiate. So but a deal soon with South Korea, as a negotiation with Indonesia. The Trump's typical strategy is to say, when he opens a negotiation, is to say something really outrageous, and then see what comes out. And it could be that we are past the outrageous. And now we have to pick up the pieces, so to speak. So there will be deals, India, Korea, God knows,
Vietnam
probably more good
or maybe,
news. Yeah. So the news on China, there was no substance to it if you took it literally. But what maybe was important was a change of tone and the fact that after 3 months, because we are at the 3 months mark now for the Trump presidency, 3 months of blitzkrieg, Trump is kind of consolidating his gains, which means we could have a few weeks of relative calms. I mean, very hard to make those sort of a statement. But so this was the news. And the other really interesting news, yes, it was about the Fed. So we have Beth Hammack, who is the president of the Cleveland Fed. And I find her to be one of the more interesting FOMC members because she doesn't feel bound by the consensus. She dissented on her first FOMC vote. Also, she's not an academic, so she's very pragmatic. She's looking at the world as it is, not as economic models say it should be. She has very long experience in the financial sector. And she signaled, believe it, she's a hawk. She was a hawk. But this week, she signaled a dovish turn. She said, if the data is clear, the Fed could start cutting in June. And I think this reflects precisely the data, the fact that it's clear investment and consumption indicators are being distorted by the front running of tariff. So people are buying a lot of goods now. But the thing is, once the tariff are in place, that is going to be offset by a big decrease in goods purchases later in the year. And she mentioned that. Also, we've seen PPI and import prices lower than expected. So intermediaries, in the chain between exporters and final users, so consumers and businesses, are eating up some of the tariff increase. And also, there is a broader philosophical question of, so right now tariff are 10% across the board. There is a chance that, we could move 10 plus 100% on China, which is still quite high. But the risk is for the FOMC is, should they wait to see what Trump is going to do when the suspension expires? I think it's on July 1. And the risk is that Trump's policies are so unpredictable that the Fed could be waiting for the rest of the year while the economy weakens. So Hammack's comment makes me think that if we get more signs that the current tariff is being eaten up, and that consumption and investment are weakening, the Fed could move in June, which is earlier than I had expected. I was expecting about six cuts this year, but I thought the Fed would move later, because of the risk to inflation, but harder would do more, which, by the way, is another thing that Hammack had said earlier. But the preliminary readings that we are getting on the impact of the tariff suggest that the Fed, because of this continued uncertainty on Trump's next move, could do a little bit in June, and then wait and see if the economy slides into recession, which is still my base case, by the way.
Yeah.
In which case, they will go harder.
I personally feel like that seems like a likely move because if you're the Fed, you have all this pressure from the president. It does look like generally the economy is probably slowing down a bit anyway. We all kind of agree that probably there was a lot of front loading and a lot of different statistics show that. So like, why not cut in June? If they're wrong, they just cut 25 basis points and they don't do anything the rest of the year. Let's say if they were right to do that, well, they're in a position to get ahead of it. And for the president, for the markets, it does kind of feel like that's the right approach, the right narrative, the right message to the economy.
Well, it just
I
sounds like
yeah.
good risk management,
It feels like,
basically.
yes, exactly. The thing of the trader side, it feels like good risk management for market-wise and not fit, but career or whatever you would say it is.
And
What question I have?
institution-wise, because
Institutional-wise, yes, because it's
the
not an
messaging,
individual.
it's interesting that the messaging on Trump and the FOMC has turned to Trump wants the Fed to take responsibility for a slowdown. If there is a slowdown, they want them to be the fall guy, which is a very subtle messaging. And I think it played a role in Hammack's statement that the Fed
This is a much
has
better
no,
strategy than threatening to fire Powell or whatever you're going to do.
100%. So whoever is advising Powell, I think, has been very smart about this aspect. It's Secretary Bessent, much
Advising
more.
Trump, yeah.
Because another aspect, of course, of this, another driver of this change in Fed view is the fact that basically Powell won the staring contest.
Yeah, he did. So now it's like everyone kind of may kind of somewhat get what they want. And I'm sure, as you've talked about in the past, the one thing that wasn't discussed is probably like the Powell-Bessent meetings that they have. And then you remember you said a buying of a guitar or something. And
So definitely, definitely. But so I think this week was actually quite pivotal for the Fed. Just ahead of the blackout, the pre-meeting blackout that starts on the weekend. So
Can I ask a question? One question I wanted
please.
to ask was, have you listened to this guy's, like, I think he's a Ryan Peterson. I guess he's CEO of Flexport, which is a supply chain logistics platform. So he's like, we know really like what's going on, which I kind of believe them. I think they're maybe the biggest like supply chain logistics. I actually looked in the space like a 5 years ago or something, which is a cool space, but he was kind of saying there's a few things. One, the info it's based upon the price that the seller is buying or something like that. Or it's even, but he was saying like a lot of this is done by like these Chinese shell companies, and they could kind of lie and significantly reduce the pricing of what it's officially purchased and brought into the country. And then I guess that's then sold on to whatever the supply, the middleman, and that's sold on to the retailer. So like one, there's a lot of tricks around it. That was kind of one thing he was saying. Second thing he's saying is now if you do see that impact, it may take another kind of 4 to 5 weeks. And so if you have that impact, plus like we said, all the front loading, like the economy may really slow. I mean, my personal view is kind of, I know Antonio's kind of thought back and forth on it. I'm kind of in the bullish rates camp, in there because I do think the economy will be slowing. I also think that Trump is kind of blinked, or who cares? I think we all want the global economy to do well and not fall into, at least not fall into a depression. I think there is some momentum. I think, as I heard Larry Summers on a podcast, like at the end of the day, maybe not China, but like every major country in the world, if the US said, let's talk about our trade agreement and we need to slightly renegotiate it, every country in the world would listen to it. You didn't need to like threaten to destroy the global economy to do that, which I thought was an interesting idea. And just to finish on that, so I think. And he reads the room, right? I mean, Trump definitely, like, that's his one of his superpowers. And
100%.
I do think that I feel like they've eliminated potentially the very negative fat tail. And if you look at this from a probability distribution, this is opportunity potentially to take some risk. That I'm in the camp that I think markets may continue to rally a bit on the equity side. I don't think they're going to
I agree
collapse,
with
but I
you.
think they will come slightly lower, and all that together is probably good. When we get some horrible numbers, if we do out of the US, that's probably a bigger risk, would be my guess.
So I agree with you, but I would put a time frame on it. So probably the next few weeks, once we get close to decision time on the tariffs, that Trump loves drama. He loves shock and awe. That's when things are going to explode again. But meanwhile, yeah, there is a risk of more good news than bad news. I agree.
Yeah, I think this. So let's say till the end of May at least,
Yeah.
there's a chance. I'm not saying huge moves, but like vols probably get hit from very extreme levels. It's hard for them traditionally to hold at such high levels too. Yeah, there'll be some good news rolled out, but yeah, then you have two things. You have the drama and the 90-day coming up, and then you have there is a potential that impact of what the damage may have done, and maybe in a slightly fragile environment too. That makes sense. That was cool. Okay,
Next
what's the big
week?
takes going forward? Yeah.
Yeah, what's coming next week?
We should start
So,
doing this just like next day because things just yeah.
but again, I think the blitzkrieg is behind us. Now we can
Yes,
be
I
a
agree.
little
We're
bit, we
in
can
a
look at the
breeze.
next week rather than the next day. Okay, so GDP, monthly personal saving, personal spending, and income, and then the NFP. So on the GDP, the really important thing that we need to be focused on is the services component of consumption. So we're going to get consumption on Thursday for the whole first quarter. That's the first estimate, and then we'll get on Friday the breakdown. And if we see services weaknesses, so services, there won't be any tariff front running, so that will give us a better idea of what's going on with the consumer. I think this will be a negative on growth, but increase the chance of a Fed cut in June. And CapEx, but to a lesser extent, but CapEx, you only get really quarterly numbers. So it's really about the services, real services consumption. NFP, it's really interesting. The consensus predicts a big decline, I think 128 from 228 or
Yeah,
130.
130, 220. Yeah, roughly.
And the idea, I was going to joke that the street has drunk the Fed Kool-Aid, because the Fed has been talking about a decline in NFP without a decline in without an increase in unemployment, showing that migrant immigration has come down. So there's no question that the flow of migrants into the US has dried up, I think. But to me, that we got 228 NFP last month, it shows that we still have a big increase in migrant workers. So people who are still in who are in the US, getting more of them getting employed, and that's consistent with the data we are getting on deportation. Actually, deportation right now are lower than under Biden. Because of lack of cooperation of states, lack of means of ICE.
Okay, so it's not that as many people.
So I think either we get the low NFPs that the street is expecting, but then I think it's likely to reflect that businesses are frozen, basically. They are so spooked by the increase in uncertainty, they have paused investment and employment. And so we should get an increase in the unemployment rate, fairly, fairly sizable, maybe 20 basis point. Or if the street is right with its low NFP prediction, or if the street is wrong, I mean, if unemployment doesn't move as the street expects, then there should be a positive surprise in NFP. So what I mean is we are likely to have a positive surprise on either NFP or unemployment. And if it's a positive surprise on NFP, it means that labor supply is still growing fast. If it is a positive surprise on unemployment, it means that labor demand is actually falling because businesses are so spooked. They don't want to take any employment decision right now.
So, okay, that's great. I guess my question is 130 like what? Why wouldn't your rationale be like if it was like 25,000 or flat? Because if there is deportations, if the economy is slowing, if businesses are like, even if it's not slowing that much, they're kind of like, well, at least I'm not going to make an investment and hire people until I have a better understanding of this uncertainty. Why wouldn't that number be? Because 228, yeah, it's a big number, but it was also a pretty big surprise last month. Obviously,
Yeah.
it could get revised down, by the way. But what? Why? The other idea is like, why isn't flat that should be like what should be expected?
So I have a propensity to take extreme views, so I always try to correct for that. So a big negative surprise. I think the bottom line is what we need to look at is the unemployment rate, much
Fine.
more than the, and if we see a fast move, it's not just an increase, but it's a fast increase. Remember the Sams rule? So her rule is that if we've had a very fast increase in unemployment, we are likely in recession. And she had a specific number on that, which I argued from the get-go was not true in the current context.
And she ended up agreeing.
But I think her view is spot on. When you have a slowdown, an economic slowdown, you have a lot of non-linearities. For instance, a slowdown in consumption means that business hire less, so income for the consumer sector is even less, so you have a kind of feedback loop to consumption. So that sort of thing explain why if you look at unemployment, you always have this non-linear increase at the beginning of a recession. So if we saw like a 20 basis point increase in unemployment, I would really get spooked, and I think the Fed would, and I don't think they would cut this time around, but they would turn more dovish.
How important is average hourly earnings, you think? Because obviously
So,
you say prices are going up, but I guess the question is, which side would spook you more, or which side do you think, or you think that number is not necessarily that important?
that's another interesting thing. Energy costs are coming down, and so headline, which is, by the way, another plank of the administration plan, and in my view, is driving a lot of its foreign policy. So it means that for even fairly stable wage growth, and remember, wage growth, wage get adjusted more slowly than prices, right? Because you need to negotiate. Most businesses have a set dates when they negotiate, and so nominal wage growth has been fairly stable, but because of the decline in energy prices, real wage growth is increasing and supporting household income. So I'm not expecting a big surprise in a nominal wage growth. I think the unemployment is really the key data in that release.
Okay, awesome. I mean, we could go on for hours. So let's kind of wrap up the thank you, that was awesome. And as always, funny, we've heard a lot of, I heard like from three different clients saying they're very excited about about our call. So hearing your thoughts, obviously. And so please, any feedback on that stuff, we'd love to hear. A quick thing on some of the things and make sure people didn't miss this past week. We reiterated a few calls around the dollar and some crosses, including like Aussie Kiwi, which by the way took a little time to move, but has been a kind of from a risk reward standpoint and you know, VAR adjusted, that's been a great trade. But I'll put, I thought a very interesting piece, five things we learned this week. Which really kind of break down. It's that's like one of his superpowers of really kind of, you know, distilling some stuff, and like two or three of them make a lot of sense, and two of them probably would be not necessarily things that people look out for, but have underlying meanings. So I would recommend that interesting stuff.
Percent.
Yeah, Henry had a bunch of stuff on the UK and spoiler alert, not the best fiscal situation for the government here. Ben has a tight around what does Trump want? Probably a question we all like to know. Liang is continuing his view on China, has been pretty clear that he thinks they're going to try and hold pretty firm, which has been right so far. But he's obviously he's looking out for any signs that that's going to change. He also, I thought, has a quite was it him or somebody else was saying quite interesting idea, which is the Trump sitting down with the leader of the country, that's not necessarily how they're gonna like to behave. It's much more the underlings work out a deal, then that goes up, then that goes up, and by the time it's Trump and Xi, it's like pretty much agreed, because they're not going to risk that. So that kind of made some sense. Barresh has had some amazing calls, closed out the long gold trade. I personally have loved this trade for such a long time. I actually would almost say we could actually see knowing my view also that I think we are in this lull and quieter volatility. I still bullish gold long term, but I think in the short term we actually could see a kind of a nasty pullback potentially. But he's done amazing work. If people are interested in gold, please reach out to Varash or any of us, especially on really like understanding flow dynamics has been amazing. Just listening to him on a call today. Surprise thing by you, which I think we should be discussing a lot more, promoting more, is your comments about the student debt forbearance, how that can be another. We for 2 years we've been talking about that as a potential threat, lower.
Yeah, this time around, the government is
This
very
time around, the
stupid.
government's excited about it, let alone doing everything they can to prevent it from happening. So a lot of cool, interesting stuff. I was also looking at again, the Fed LLM sentiment index, using kind of shorter term approach to looking at it through Pulse. And like, yeah, we've had a kind of a separation between lower yields, 2 year yields in the US and the Fed comment, but now that's finally changed. It actually wasn't even just this, it's been about 2 weeks now that they're floating out this hey, this could be an issue, and hey, maybe like we said, now it's culminating with June could be live. So that's a really interesting thing. People should check that out on the website.
100%.
That's kind of it from my side. Want to wish you a lovely weekend. And apparently, according to your governor, Governor Newsom, is he saying the California economy, somebody sent me, is bigger than Japan?
Really?
Yeah, that can't be. That doesn't seem like
I think yeah, that can be because
quite a bit more people in Japan.
it would be the 10th, California would be the 10th largest economy in the world. And
I
I
think
would
it's
say,
bigger. I think it's like bigger than France. That I'm sure, but Japan has like
no
100
question.
million people. Yeah. Anyway, it's an interesting topic to leave everyone a little humor. We wish all our clients, everything, like all the best of luck. We're there for you guys. Please, anything you need, any stuff you want us to focus on, want us to build, I think what people will be looking out. We're going to release a few really cool things in the month of May. Yeah, and that's it. Any parting words?
Great.
Okay, cool. Awesome.